28, chapter 8, Pasuk Dalad. Page 328, chapter 8, Pasuk Dalad. The Yikra Parei LeMoshe, yeah. Last week we learned that Hashem told, okay, the mark of dam, the mark of blood finished, then Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron, take your hand and take the stick and, you know, over the rivers and everything, and the frog started coming up. And as we learned, it was one frog, and they kept hitting it, and it kept multiplying, and it kept going all over the place, inside them, outside of them, inside the ovens, and everything. We discussed last week that the concept is that there's the coldness, the enthusiasm of Egypt, which were the ovens of Egypt, and the Tzvadeh, the concept is going to cool off the excitement and enthusiasm of Egypt. And then, the Pasuk says that the magicians did the same thing, you know, and they also caused frogs to start coming up. So in Pasuk Dalet it says, and here's an interesting thing. Even though the magicians seemingly did the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did, so they before we learned by the stick turning into a snake and all this, that the fact that the magicians did it caused Paro not to be so excited about it. Yet over here, even though the magicians did it, Vayekra Paro LeMoshe, Paro called to Moshe and Aaron, to both of them, and he said, Havayemen, he said, Hatiro Lashem, Daven to God, V'yaseh Atzvardim, and take away these frogs, Mimeni Miami, from me and my nation, V'ashalcha Sa'am, and I will send away the nation, V'yizbuchu Lashem, and they will sacrifice the whatever they wanted to God. So basically over here, as the Mefarshim explained, Paro was so bothered by these frogs, because they were all over the place, inside him, outside of him, in the ovens, in the bedroom, in the beds, you know, all over the place. So even though the magicians did the same thing, but Paro said to Moshe and to Aaron, and here's an interesting thing. He said, Ha'atiru el Hashem, pray plural. He's talking to Moshe and Aaron, and he's saying, both of you should pray to God for me. Because he thought the plague came about through both of them. He didn't understand that Moshe Rabbeinu really did the plagues through Aaron. Aaron was his messenger. He thought they both did it. So he said, plural, Davin Tashem. V'yayimim Moshe l'Paro. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro the following. Yisboyer alai, glorify yourself over me. Meaning, what? Which one? Hatiru is Vayetar Lahatir is Datadavan. It's not only here, it's in Chumash Bereishis also. Vatiru Moshe Rabbeinu, it was by Avimelech with when he took away Sarah. Was also one second says in Lech Lecha, 1 second. No, I'm sorry. It was later on when Yitzchak. One second. Here. Over there it says, and there's another few places in Chumash where it says the expression of Vayetar means the lashon of davening. What?
What's the significance that he's talking to both of them?
Oh, because we'll see by Moshe Rabbeinu's answer. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu now is telling Paro, but he says to him, what's the lashon of the Pasuk? His poor lie mean, why don't you glorify yourself with me? Why don't you ask me something I can't do? Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was like teasing him. Of course I could daven to get rid of this. Why don't you ask me something that I can't do? Make yourself, you know, sound big that you can ask me something that I can't do. So he says, L'masai atir l'cho, when do you want me to daven for you? And l'cho l'avadecho, that for you and your servants, l'amchon for your nation, l'hachris et svardim, to cut away the svardim, to stop the svardim imchom yibetecho, rak by your etishan, that should only remain in denial. So Meshe Rabbeinu said to him, L'masai atir l'cho, when do you want me to daven? And here Meshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, was giving Parai the choice, because he wanted to show Parai that whenever Meshe Rabbeinu wants to daven, he's going to be able to daven. And he said, Atir Lucha, I will daven for you. I don't need Aaron with me. One of us are great enough to accomplish to daven that the plague should stop. Okay, because he says, I'm not going to stop them whenever you want. I will stop them when I want. That's what Meshe Rabbeinu was saying. I will stop them when I want.
Stop the frogs.
But Meshe Rabbeinu thought that it was, I mean, Parai thought it was both people together. Okay, so what happened? Vayemer lemachar, he says, fine, tomorrow. Vayemer kedvarcha, he says, I'll do like you say. The mantei that you should know, ki ein kashem alakena, that there's nobody like God. So he said, I'm going to do it when you want. I'm going to do it tomorrow, that you should realize the greatness of God. Okay, so what happens? He says, the Soro at Svardim, Meshe Rabbeinu is continuing, telling what's going to happen. The Svardim are going to leave Minchomi Bavatecho, from you and your houses, Me'avadecho Me'amecho, from you and from your nation, Rak Ba'yo'er Tisho'an, it's only going to remain in the Nile. So he says, what happened? V'yetze Meshe V'arim Mi'im Parai. So Meshe and Aaron left Parai's presence, and it says they didn't want to daven in the presence of Parai, because Parai was the ultimate level of evil. They didn't want to daven with such impurity. Yeah, Tuma was impurity. There was all these idols over there. They didn't want to daven there in the presence. So it says as follows, Vayitzak Meshe Lashem. Meshe Rabbeinu screamed. Tzak means he screamed to God, Al Dvar Tzvadim, about the frogs, Asher Sam Lefadeh, that he made for Parai. Now, the Mefarshim asked a question, why over here, from all the plagues, it says Meshe Rabbeinu screamed over here? We don't find by any of the other plagues, when Meshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem, you know, to stop the plague, it doesn't say he screamed to God. He said he davened to God. No, it didn't. God can hear. God has good hearing. So it says, because over here was dependent the honor of Meshe. Because Meshe Rabbeinu said to Parai, tomorrow it's going to stop. So if Hashem doesn't answer him tomorrow, he's going to look bad. So Meshe Rabbeinu screamed to God, so to speak, Hashem, do me a favor and answer my tefillah that it should stop when I want it to stop. Otherwise, Parai is going to say, oh, you see, who do you think you are? It stopped a day later.
Screaming is stronger prayer than other.
But Yitzhak is a form of a stronger prayer. Correct. What?
I still don't see the significance of the fact we talked about this last week. That number one, that Pharaoh's people were able to also bring the frogs. So that, remember last week we said, how do you know the difference between their frogs and the other frogs?
They're different colors.
Different colors. But then, so what if they brought frogs? They still couldn't stop the Jewish frog. I mean, Moshe's frog.
But meanwhile, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't stop him either. Until Meshe Rabbeinu went out and davened, there was no proof that Meshe Rabbeinu was able to stop them either. You know, it's very easy sometimes to let a herd of animals stampede. It's very easy to make a stampede. It's much, much harder to stop a stampede. Once the stampede is going already, it's very hard to stop it. Correct? Over here was two things. Meshe Rabbeinu was trying to prove to Parai that this is all coming from Hashem. And therefore, if this Hashem said, let my people go to serve me, so then you have to listen, because this is a powerful God. Once the magicians proved that they're also able to do it, then Parai can say, okay, so Meshe Rabbeinu was a magician. But it doesn't mean that God said, that let the people go. Just like they were able to, the Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do it. So until now, there was no inyan of stopping. Yeah. He what? I understand what you're asking. What did Moshe Rabbeinu accomplish by stopping the plague? If anything, it's going to make Paro not want to let the Jews out. Like it happened at the end of each plague. We're going to learn in the next pasuk that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu davened that the frog should stop, and he stopped, so Paro said, okay, forget it, I'm not letting him out. Right? So what did he gain by telling Paro it's going to stop? The answer is, he had to get to the next plague. This is all a system. So this is because Moshe Rabbeinu knew there's going to be 10 plagues. Yeah, because it was even alluded to on his staff, on the stick. Mm-hmm. We're going to see later in Parshas Bo'i that nowhere does it say that God told Moshe Rabbeinu the plague of locusts, Arba. Doesn't say anywhere Hashem says, all the plagues that Hashem says to Moshe, okay, it's going to be blood. Tell Paro it's going to be blood. Tell Paro it's going to be frogs. Tell Paro the next one's going to be lice. By Arba, by the locusts, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash, Hashem said to Moshe, tell Paro, tomorrow is going to be locusts. It doesn't say that. So everybody asks, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know? Maybe Arba b'gvulach, I'm going to bring locusts. So they answer different answers. But one of the answers is, because Moshe Rabbeinu's stick, that he did all the miracles with, said, Ditzach Adash Ba'achav, which is the acronym of the 10 plagues. So when he came to the Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu already knew what's Aleph. It's going to be Arba, because that's the only letter that makes sense to have a plague. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew, they knew it was going to be 10 plagues. That they knew. Moshe Rabbeinu had to finish one plague, give Paro a chance to change his mind, because then Hashem was able to bring the next plague. We learned already before the plagues that the reason why Hashem warned Paro about the plagues was that the nations of the earth should not come along and say, it's wrong, God, to punish people without warning them. So Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to warn him. I want to be a nice guy. I'm going to warn him, and he's not going to listen. So can you imagine, people think, just think how it is. God brings a plague, then the king says, hey, get rid of this. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, God's going to take it away. God stops it, and right away you change your mind. So Paro looks bad. So then when Hashem brings the next plague, even in the eyes of the nations, God is not doing any cruelty over here, because he warned them. And then you go change your mind. You change your mind, so we move on to the next plague. But there had to be the going of all the plagues. Okay, so what happened? Vayas Hashem kedvar Moshe. Hashem did like the words of Moshe. And the frogs died from the houses, from the courtyards, and from the fields. And I'm just going to explain. They became bundled up. Bundles. They made bundles of the dead frogs. And the earth started smelling from the dead frogs. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu... Huh? No. Moshe Rabbeinu said... meaning the live frogs are going to be in the Nile. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say all the frogs are going to end up in the Nile, because that's not what happened. The Moshe Rabbeinu would be looking bad because they ended up staying in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro the live frogs are going to remain in the Nile where they belong. But the dead ones, and therefore the Kleyoker says in the next pasuk, when Paro saw that there was this saving, you know, God saved him, and then he changed his mind, is only mentioned in the Torah by Tzfardea. Why? All the other plagues, when it was over, it was completely over. There was no mark remaining. Like when blood finished, that was it. The blood plague was over. Everything was back to normal water. So there was no mark, so to speak, remaining. So over there, when Paro changed his mind, it would make sense, because he had nothing to remind him of it. Here by the frogs, The frogs remained in the land. Everything started stinking, smelling. The bundles of dead frogs. Huh? I don't know if they wanted to eat it. I don't know.
By the way, France didn't exist.
France?
French would have bought a frog.
Maybe. But they started smelling, so they couldn't eat them anyway.
Yeah.
They didn't have freezers. Yeah, not only useless, it smelled. I mean, it was bad. So over here, the Mefarshim, the Klayaka explains, over here, Pari seemingly had a reminder of this plague. And yet, the Torah says he still changed his mind. Because he saw the plague was over, even though there was a remaining remnants of the plague. And that's how bad Pari was. I imagine it wasn't. I have to say, I imagine that it wasn't. Because then the Jews would be suffering from the plague too. And even though, by the way, they probably didn't come to Goshen anywhere where the Jews lived. Okay. But like we said, the Mefarshim said over here, we said it before. The Mefarshim say that the frog plague, something good came out of the frog plague. Because there was this fight between Egypt and Cush, the boundaries. So when the frogs were in Egypt, wherever the frogs went, they knew it was Egypt. And wherever the frogs didn't go, they knew it was the land of Cush. I said, I mentioned this last time, but the Mefarshim say it. Over here is where they say it. Okay, so now everything left from the houses. Now, the the Daskin Maltes brings on an interesting vart. If you notice before, when it speaks about the frogs coming in, the frogs went all over the place. Like he says in Perek Zion, he said they're going to go in your beds and your servants and your ovens and all over the place, right? Here, it doesn't say that the frogs in the ovens died. Which frogs died? From the houses, the courtyards, and the fields. But the pasuk said before the frogs went into the ovens too. So the Daskenim Balatesis says they didn't die. Why? Because they believed in God. You go into a hot oven, you're going to get burnt. The frogs had such belief in God. And therefore, when God made all the frogs die, they didn't die. They remained alive. That's what the Daskim Batesa says. But the ones in the Tanurim didn't die because God promised them when they trusted in God when they went into the ovens. Yeah. You trust in God, nothing happened. What? They didn't burn. It was a miracle. And it says that a Jew has to learn from the self-sacrifice of the frogs that if the frogs listened, God told them to do something, and they did it, even though they don't have free choice and they don't have, you know, all that stuff. But nevertheless, they went into the oven, even though instinctively they would get burnt. So it teaches a Jew to have a trust and self-sacrifice for mitzvahs. Okay. Vayar Pari and Parsi Kiralef. Vayar Pari saw Kerisar Devacha. It was this broad, good salvation. Vahach Beidus Libay. His heart was hardened. Vayisham Aleim, and he didn't listen to them. Kashadibir Hashem, like Hashem spoke. Where did Hashem speak? So Rashi says before, Hashem told Moshe, Leyishma Aleichem Pari. Pari is not going to listen to you. So he didn't listen. Okay, now he says as follows. Now we go to plague number 3. Emerit al Aaron, Aaron, say to Aaron, Neteyes Yocho, take your hand, not the stick anymore. Before it was Aaron using the stick. Here it just says, take your hand, V'hacha safara oretz, and hit the earth, V'hoya lakinim b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and life will come all over the place, throughout the land of Mitzrayim. As the Medrash says, the earth itself turned into lice.
No, here it says, that's your staff, it's your stick.
Where?
Number 12.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? You know what's funny? I don't believe it. No, in this, in the Me'am Le'ez, when he quotes the pasuk, he says Neteyas Yadcha. I know, in the Chumash it says Neteyas Matcha. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Here it says, I'm reading from this, it says Neteyas Yadcha. So it's mamash a mistake. Okay, so obviously you think Yadcha is your hand. And the pasuk says Matcha, your staff. It's just a mistake, that's all. It's matchas, right, for sure. You can, that's the, says in the Chumash. Now, Rashi comments, why did Hashem tell Aaron to do it? Before, when it came to the water, we understand because the water protected Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu here to hit the earth? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu hit the earth himself? So again, we find because the earth protected Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, and he buried him in the sand. So the earth, so to speak, saved Moshe's neck by concealing the body. The earth concealed the evidence. So therefore, again, Hashem said, if the earth protected you, Moshe, it's not proper for you to hit the earth. And this is an unbelievable lesson. I mean, even though earth is an inanimate object, just like water is, and it has no feelings, it has no memory, it has no sensations, nothing. Yet, Hashem says to Moshe, if the water protected you and the earth protected you, you should not hit the earth, even though it's going to be a benefit for the Jewish people, that's going to be a plague for Egypt. So it's an unbelievable concept. Okay, so the Yasu came, so it says, they did this. Vayet Aaron Yasyodi b'Mateu, Aaron stretched out his hand with a stick, Vayachas Afar Ha'aretz, he hit the earth, Vatiyakinam, and the lice became Ba'adam of Abahema, in the people and the beasts, Kalafar Ha'aretz Ha'yakinim Cholaretz Mitzrayim. The entire land of Egypt became full of lice. So the Mefarshim say over here, an interesting thing. If you look in the Pasuk, it says as follows. Lice became in people and animals, and then it says that the whole earth became full of lice. That's what the Pasuk says. So Mefarshim explain, there are two, it's like a double miracle here. The second Aaron hit the earth, immediately all the animals and people in his area became full of lice. It was like the lice just started growing from them, whatever. And then the second miracle was what all the entire earth all over Egypt became full of lice. If people dug earth, they dug up lice. And it says, once again, the reason why God did this to the Egyptians is because the Egyptians, again, Mida Keneged Mida, Deed for Deed, the Egyptians used to torture the Jews by making them work on the roads, you know, straightening the roads and making roads. So they basically were working slavery in earth. So Hashem wanted to punish Egyptians with the earth. Yeah.
Right. He just took it in his hand, and then he hit.
No, Vayet Aaron Siyodai means he stuck out his hand. He stuck out the hand with the stick in it.
So he describes
exactly what he did. And again, he asked only Aaron to do it single term. So the question is, why does it say Vayasu Chain? The Mefarshim Tak asks, what do you mean Vayasu Chain? They did it. They didn't. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Aaron did it, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does it say Vayasu Chein? They did it. So the Mefarshim explained, what did Moshe do? Hashem said to him, tell Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, and Aaron did it. So they both did what Hashem said. There are two mitzvahs over here. Moshe should tell Aaron what to do, and then Aaron should do it. So they both did what God told them to do. And we were both equal, basically. Moshe and Aaron were equal in the whole, all these makas and all these plagues and so on and so forth. Okay, so what happened? For number one, the lice became in all the people around him. And the whole dirt earth of Egypt became lice. So now the magicians also tried doing it with their magic. But, not to get rid of the kinim, to produce kinim, lice, v'lo yochel, and they weren't able to. So Rashi says, why couldn't they? Because the power of witchcraft comes from the demons, from the Shadim. And because it comes from the demons, demons don't have control over something smaller than the size of a barley. And the lice are smaller than barley, so therefore they couldn't have any ability to control witchcraft on that small of a size. He brings on over here, it's a Gemara, it's a quote from a Rashi in Gemara. There's a story as follows. And this is a remarkable, it's a very interesting story that took place. At the end of the story, brings out about witchcraft, about you need certain conditions to do witchcraft. There's a famous Tan in the Mishnah called Reb Shimon ben Shatach. He was one of the earlier Tanoim of the Mishnah. In his days, there was a tax collector who was a very big Rasha, and at the same time, there was a very big Chacham, who was a great Tzaddik. Both people happened to die the same day. The tax collector, everybody hated. He was a wicked man, everybody hated him, and the Chacham, everybody respected. So they were going towards the funeral. Both coffins were going to the funeral. Along the way, some robbers came, and everybody ran away. They were afraid. And one student of the Chacham didn't want to leave his Rebbe, you know, just without anybody watching him. So he had Mesiras Nefesh, and he stayed with the coffin. When everybody came back, they were all mixed up and upset and everything, and they were rushed. So what happened is, by mistake, they mixed up the coffins. They mixed up the coffins. And the student kept screaming, no, this is the Chacham's coffin. And the people said, you don't know what you're talking about, this is the Rasha's coffin. And to make a long story short, the Rasha, everybody thought he was the Chacham. So everybody followed his funeral procession, and they made a very beautiful funeral, a respected funeral and everything. And the Chacham, who everybody thought was the Rasha, nobody followed his funeral procession, and they just buried him, and that was the end. So the student felt very bad. He said, how did my Rebbe deserve such a disgrace at the end of his life? By mixing up the coffins, and the Rasha got this honorable funeral, and my Rebbe got this disgusting type of funeral. So that night, his Rebbe came to him in a dream. And he said to him, don't worry. I'm in Gan Eden, and the Rasha's in Gehenna. Don't worry about that. And let me explain to you why he ended up with such a respectful funeral and I didn't. So he said to him as follows. God pays kindness to who does good, and God punishes those that do bad. He said, one time, the Chacham says, one time I heard the way people were shaming a scholar, and I didn't protest it. And because I heard once the way the people were embarrassing a scholar and I didn't protest, so I was punished that I should be disgraced at my own funeral, that I also shouldn't be honored by everybody coming. And the opposite was for the Rasha, because one time his boss, the king, made a meal for dignitaries, and they didn't show up for whatever reason. The banquet was cancelled. So the smuchas, this mean guy, invited all the poor people in the city to come and partake of the meal. Because he did an act of kindness, he merited on his deathbed that he got this honorable funeral, and I was punished by it. No, for the funeral, it's covered a mess. It's a big schus. To have a proper, honorable funeral is a big thing. So he says, though, that one time that this guy is in Gan Eden, in Gehenna, and his ear is under a bunch of hair. This is what he told him. That this Rosh is in Gehenna with his ear under his hair. So he says, how long more is this guy going to have to stay like that? So he answered him, the Chacham said, until Shimon ben Shatach dies and is buried. So he didn't understand, because Shimon ben Shatach was such a great tzaddik, why should he want to die, and so on and so forth. So he says as follows. The Chacham said the following. In the city of Ashkelon, there are 80 women witchcrafters.
What?
Witchcraft. 80 women that practice witchcraft. And they have to get killed. So, how do you get together 80 witchcrafters? They're very dangerous people because they can do witchcraft on you and they can hurt you.
They're Jewish?
No. I don't know. Yeah, they were Jewish. It seems that they were Jewish because they're, otherwise they don't get killed. Now, what did he do? This Chacham took 80 young men, and he told them, I want you to take your clothing and put it into a container. Put your clothing into a container. And that day was pouring, an unbelievable rain. And they all carried their clothing in a sealed container, so their clothing didn't get wet. So this Chacham comes to these witches, and he says to them, he says to the men, you have to follow my instructions completely, because otherwise you're going to get hurt. If you follow my instructions completely, we'll get rid of all these 80 ladies. He says to them, he comes into them, and he says, he goes into the witch, to the witches, and the witches say to him, who are you? So he said, I'm a very famous witchcrafter. The man said, I'm a very famous witch, and I want to see if you guys are also witches or not, you know, if you know what you're doing. So they say, what type of witchcraft do you practice? They said to him. So he said, I can bring you in 80 men now, that have clothing that are completely dry. They came in the rain, and their clothing are completely dry. So obviously I did witchcraft. It made them walk in the rain, and their clothing stayed dry. So they said, we don't believe it. So the 80 men came in with the dry clothing on. They put on the dry clothing. And when they came into the room, each one of the men picked up a witchcraft, the witch, off the ground. And a witch can only do witchcraft when they're standing on the ground. If they're off the ground, they lose the power. So what this guy had to do, he figured out a way to get the witches to lose their witchcraft. Because then they can't hurt them. And they did it, and they killed 80 witchcrafters. They killed them. Shimon ben Shatach killed the 80 witchcrafters. The family of these people, of the 80 witches, got so angry at Shimon ben Shatach for outsmarting the witches and killing them, that they testified, they hired false witnesses, who were expert fakers, and they got him to testify that Shimon ben Shatach's son did a sin that needs capital punishment. And Bezdin accepted it.
Why?
Because they were perfect witnesses. They were false witnesses, but they were perfect.
They didn't know that this is...
So what happened? When they're going out, Shimon ben Shatach's son said, he knew he was innocent. He said, the sword is going to hang over the ones that made this happen. Meaning they cursed the witnesses. So the witnesses got scared. So they said to the court, we're liars. We're false witnesses. We're not honest. But according to Halacha, once a witness testifies, you can't change your testimony. So they killed Shimon ben Shatach's son. They killed Shimon ben Shatach's son, who happened to be innocent, because of the story of the 80 witchcrafters. So Miam Leiz brings it down over here to show that not always the witchcrafters have the power of wit. Not all witches do they always have the power of witchcraft. You need to be on the ground. It needs to be a certain size to be able to do it. And over here they couldn't do it because the kingdom were too small for witchcraft to take effect on.
Isn't it halachic if two witnesses, they make a mistake and they find out that they lied, the punishment they caused the other person will be punished to them?
That's only if they're caught as Eidim Zaymimin. But the witness, that's if other witnesses come and disqualify them.
Okay.
If two witnesses come to court and testify, and then they come back and say, no, we're wrong, you don't accept the new testimony.
I don't.
No, once Bezdin accepted the first testimony, that's the testimony. Now, taking it a little bit deeper, the fact that Shimon ben Shatach's son got killed by Bezdin, even though seemingly in this case he was innocent, but as we know, God doesn't kill innocent people. So obviously Shimon ben Shatach's son did an aveda that he was supposed to get killed anyway. But for that aveda he wasn't caught. So Hashem just made it that he should get caught in this case, because God doesn't kill innocent people. So obviously Bezdin is not going to kill Shimon ben Shatach's son innocently, if it's a proper Bezdin. And the Bezdin that gave capital punishment was a very proper Bezdin. So therefore, he had... God took care of them.
They weren't so innocent either.
Huh?
They weren't so innocent either.
They weren't innocent at all.
Yeah, they lied.
But Shimon and Shatach, for whatever reason, is that boy had to die.
What happened to the 80 witches?
They got killed. And it's another interesting halacha, because technically, you're not bezin, not allowed to kill more than one person a day. So over there was an exceptional case that he should kill all 80 the same day.
But I thought it had to be Shimon ben Shatach that had to die for this.
No, but the family snitched. That's what I'm saying. Obviously, Shimon ben Shatach's son did something that he should have gotten and killed him.
For this Russia to be exonerated.
It was Shimon ben Shatach himself that had to die. I don't know, so I guess... that is not about Shimon Shatach. There's another Mishnah that speaks about in the Gemara with Shimon Shatach that you have to be careful. Yeah, but it was Shimon Shatach's son died innocently because Havimar Belachkar Asaidim. That's what it means. The Mishnah, you have to really check out the witness as well, because especially when it comes to capital punishment. Okay. Okay, now it's a Vayema Chatumim Melpare. So now that the magicians themselves couldn't do it, so the magician said to Pare, Etzbel Akimi, it's the finger of God. Now, Taisus, by the way, over here learns that it's different than Rashi. Rashi says, why couldn't the Chatumim do it? Why couldn't the magicians do it? Because it was too small. Taisus answers, Taisus answers based on the story we just told. Taisus says the reason they couldn't do it was because they weren't standing on the ground, because there were lice between them and the ground. So because there was lice between them and the ground, they couldn't stand on the ground. If you don't stand on the ground, you can't do kishuv. That's what Taisus learns. Fishehichnis mafsikav akinim mafsikam ben agli achatum ben akarka, and it didn't have like the story of Shimon ben Shatach, so therefore he couldn't do it. Now Taisus over here says another interesting thing. Dom Tzvadei Akinim all came from the earth. Dom came from the water, Tzvadei from the water, and Kinim from the earth. Those three, Aaron did. The next three, Barod, Dom Tzvadei Akinim, Arev Dever, I'm sorry, Barod Arev and Chayshach, Barod Arev and Chayshach, which is hail, locusts, and darkness, those came from heaven. So those Moshe Rabbeinu did. And Hashem also did three, and the Shechin came through all three of them. So he divides up to three. Three came through Aaron, three came through Moshe, three came through God, and one came through all three of them. Because Aaron controlled earth. Moshe Rabbeinu was great, he controlled heaven. And God did everything together. That's what Malatesis says. Okay, V'yema chatumim al pari, so the chatumim, the magician said to pari as follows, Etzba l'kimi, this is the finger of God. Meaning they agreed that this was the finger of God. So, the Mefarshim say over here, it says the following, Etzba is spelled Aleph, Tzadik Beis Ayin. He says this is an acronym for Ein Tzarach Bedika Oid. You don't have to do any more checkings. This is God. Because they ask, what do you mean Etzba L'Kimi? What do you mean? What type of expression is the finger of God? Why is he using this? They should have said it's coming from God. What does it mean Etzba L'Kimi? It's the finger of God. So he says this finger of God because it stands for Ein Tzarach Bedika Oid. It's not necessarily to do any more checking. This is from God. But if you remember, we learned already a while ago that the Egyptians over here said Etzba Elokim hi. They said Elokim. They didn't say Etzba Hashem hi. Because that, the Egyptians had no connection to the name of Yudke Vavke. Yud Kevavke was the supernatural. To that level, the Egyptians had no connections. The only level the Egyptians had a connection to was the level of Elohim. Like it says earlier in Chumash, that Elohim Ya'ane Eshlom Paray, Yosef said to Paray, God, Elohim, will answer your trouble. You know, when he didn't understand the dreams. Because Paray and the Goyim had a connection to Elohim. Only the natural level of Elokus. The supernatural level of Elokus, they had no connection to. So they couldn't say Etzba Hashem Hi, because Yudke Vavke and them have no connection. So therefore it's Etzba Elokim Hi. Ve'ichazek leiv Paray, so Paray's heart became hardened. Ve'leishama aleim, and he didn't listen to Hashem. Did listen to them. Kashadibir Hashem, like Hashem spoke. Now, until now, the Egyptians thought that Meshinarim were big witchcrafters. Now they saw that they're a much greater level. Nevertheless, Paray hardened his heart, and he didn't listen to them. But again, it doesn't say Hashem hardened his heart. It says Paray hardened his heart. What do you mean Paray hardened? He was still had the ability to change his mind. It wasn't God forced him to change his mind. Paray himself changed his mind. Okay, so that ends the third plague. So we have Dam Tzvadei Akinim. Next starts the plague of Oriv, a mixture of wild beasts. Hashem said to Meshe, Hashkem Babaker, get up early in the morning, V'syativ lifnei Paray, and stand before Paray. Hine yeitzi hamayim, he's going out to the water. So he says, don't be afraid of him. Basically, he's telling Hashem, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paray early in the morning. Remember we learned that Paray told everybody he's a god. So he doesn't need to go to the bathroom. So what did he do? He went early in the morning before everybody got up. He went quietly to the Nile and did his thing. So all the time, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go meet him there. Let's catch him in the act. So it says, the Medrash says that this Paray said to himself, you know, this Ben Ammon is getting on my nerves. You know, he's bilbili leish, he's mixing up my head. And therefore he says, I'm going to go to him out to the bathroom even earlier than before. And that you shouldn't find me. And I'm going to go to a place that he's not going to find me. So Hashem said to Moshe, go exactly to this place, exactly at this time, and you're going to meet him. In other words, and he should see that you know who he is. So he says, V'marta Elav, and you should say to him as follows. Koyamar Hashem, so God said, Shalach Hasami, send away my nation, V'yavduni, and let them serve me. Now, here if you notice, again he says, Koyamar Hashem. He doesn't say Koyamar Elohim. He's speaking to Paray. I want you to know that we have a connection to the supernatural God. We are not in the level of nature Elohim, we are on the level of Avaya, of Yudke Vavke. And he said, Shalach Hasami.
He's not able to understand this level, that's why he's saying.
He's telling him that we have a level that would be beyond your understanding. That's exactly what he's telling him. You don't understand it, but this is a higher level that you don't understand. And he says, this is warning him well, and as the Mefarshim explained, because this plague is going to be worse than the first three. Worse than blood and frogs and all the other things. Okay, what does he say to him? He says as follows. Kim einchem eshaleach hasami. Because if you're not going to send away my nation to go out of Egypt, hinini mashliach b'cho, I'm going to send to you, uva'avadecha, and to your servants, uva'amecha, and to your nation, uva'avatecha, and to your house, as ha'ariv, this mixture of wild beasts. Ariv comes to the word taruves. Taruves means it's a mixture of wild beasts. What type of beasts? So it says, lions, wolf, bears, leopards, snakes, scorpions, bugs, mosquitoes, all the type of bugs that make you that can hurt you.
Are these the same ones that guarded the ark when Noah went into the before Noah got into the ark?
There was, I know exactly the same.
It says like bears.
Yeah, but over there it says bears and lions. Here it says it's a mixture of all animals. Okay, because if you don't send my people, what's going to happen is, I'm going to make it happen. Okay. So he says, if you don't send them, I'm going to send the wild beasts. They're going to fill up your house. All the houses of Egypt will be full of this mixture of wild beasts. And even the earth that they're standing on. Everything is going to be full of these wild beasts. So he says, as follows. There's two things with this plague, and that's why the Aruch Chaim asks the question, why is he repeating himself? He says, I'm going to send Arev, and then he says, Umati Bati Mitzrayim Esa Arev. Why does it say again Arev? Twice. So he says there are two parts of this plague. One is that the animals are going to come and hurt you, and secondly, they're going to be all over the place. So it's two parts of the plague. Number one, they're going to hurt, they're going to bite and kick and hurt, whatever, kill. Says they used to, these animals were killing the Egyptians also. We'll soon see. The Medrash says they were killing them. So they're going to even hurt the earth which was upon them. So he says it was so bad that the earth, everything became, whatever they wanted, couldn't go anything. The Samti Pedus, and I'm going to make the sign, Bein Ami or Bein Amecha, between me and your nation. And he says, what is going to be the sign? He says, I'm going to set apart the land of Goshen, where the Jews live. There's not going to be even one beast. There's going to be no mixture of animals, even though animals are normally not controlled. So they bring down in the Medrash over here, what happened was that the Egyptians went and locked their homes with gates. They put gates in front of the homes. So Hashem sent these wild creatures from the sea, it says. They went on top of the roof, and they took off the roof. And then they opened the doors, and the animals all came barging into the houses. I mean, it was an unbelievable miracle that were going on when this thing was happening. In the land of Goshen, there was not one animal. And obviously not the animals, they put up roadblocks. It's just that the animals went everywhere but to Goshen where the Jews were. And therefore, people are going to know, the world will know, that Hashem supervises the Jews. And he says even more. The Medrash says, what happens if a Jew is walking with an Egyptian down the street? The wild beast came over to the Egyptian and didn't touch the Jew. It's not going to only touch the Egyptians. So Hashem is telling him, that's why he's emphasizing again, it's only going to be your nation because nothing is going to happen to the Jews. V'yaseh Hashem kein, and Hashem did it. And here it's an interesting thing. Aaron didn't hit the ground, he didn't hit the water. Just like we said before, this is coming from Hashem, the plague of Arev. And that's why it said, V'yaseh Hashem kein. Until now it says, Aaron did the first three. This fourth plague, that was from God. That's why it said, V'yaseh Hashem kein. V'yavei Arev kaved, and this heavy mixture of animals came, base of Pari, base of Vodov, the house of Pari and the house of his servants. The whole land of Egypt was destroyed from the beasts. Why? Excuse me. So he quotes the Medrash. No, fine. It says that the venom, the poison of the animals, went into the trees and into the grass. So that also became destroyed. In other words, it wasn't only a mixture of wild animals making a mess, but they're like the snakes and the scorpions have this venom and this poison that actually killed out all the agriculture of Egypt.
Would they bite the trees?
No. They went, whatever. Either they shot out the poison or they bit the tree, whatever. It says that the poison went into the vegetation. And then the vegetation, it destroyed the whole land. Now, the Medrash says, why were the Egyptians punished with this plague? Because the Egyptians used to make the Jews go into the forest to catch wild animals. Why did the Egyptians want the Jews to do this? Because, as you know, when you go capture wild animals, that wild animals can kill you first. So the Egyptian wanted the Jews to get killed from it. So what did Hashem send as a plague? The wild beast doing back the same thing to them. And also, it says, the Pari used to kill, when Pari had leprosy, it said before in Parsha Shmos, the Pari used to kill Jewish kids and soak in the blood of the kids to ease his itching in the leprosy. So it says, Pari used to kill 150 kids in the morning, 150 kids in the afternoon. So he used to kill 300 kids a day. So Hashem punished him with the same thing, that they should also go and rip them apart and kill them. What? Pari doing that? Yeah. Not a very long time. Because it stopped.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
You were coming after him.
It doesn't say how long.
Too long.
Okay. And as it says, everybody came in their own groups. The mixture came, horses went separately, and the lions went separately. They all went separately towards destroying them. So the Medrash says as follows. The Egyptians were afraid to walk in the street because of the animals. So they came to the Jews, and they said, will you walk with us? So they thought by walking with the Jews, they'll be protected. So instead, when the wild beasts came, they only hit the Egyptians, not the Jews. It says the animals recognized the difference between the Jews and not.
So how many you think the animals in this, as a result of this plague, how many Egyptians were left?
There's plenty of Egyptians left. Doesn't say how many were killed.
It was enough to go after Jewish people to the sea.
There were plenty of Egyptians left. There are plenty. Doesn't say numbers. Okay. Now he brings down over here that the Medrash says, if you look at Tzfadeya first went to the nation and then to Pari's servants. Here the pasuk says the Ariv came base of Pari ubase avodov. The opposite of frogs. Frogs first went to the nation and then to Pari's house. The animals first went to Pari's house and then to the rest of the people. So he says, because they were started, the poor people of the nation were started the advice of Golus, and Pari listened to them. And over here, once Pari saw that it went, Pari started the mock of these things. In other words, he says, but mock is the way people die, the order of Dever, mock is Becheris, it started with the servants of Pari first. In a plague where there's no dead people like frogs and that started with the poor people first. So it depends what the plague was. What?
Isn't it like more so to say that, that Sfardia started with Paro first, it went inside of him first, and then all his servants and then all the nation afterwards?
No, by the Makkah Sfardeya, it said before. One second. No, he's right. One second. No, if you look in the Gemara, in the Pasuk, I know what you're saying. But here he says, you're going to go into your house, then and then Tanurecha. So you're right, over here it says, the frogs started first with, so where is the Medrash? He quotes the Medrash that says this. And so was by Kinim, but by Ariv it started differently. So, it's a good question that you're asking. I don't know.
Of course, he didn't shave today.
That's right. Okay.
When you begin to do it?
He doesn't want to get smart. Okay, so the Pasuk said, now, Vayikra Pare al Meshav al Aden, Paran called to Moshe and Aaron, and he said, you know what? Get out of here. L'chu zivchu elokechem ba'aretz. He says, I want you to go celebrate to God in the land. And here it's interesting. Mepharshim point out, before, by Tzfadeya, Pari said to them, get out. Go out of the country. Now, he didn't say get out of the country. He said only get out of, do it in the land. It doesn't make sense. It should be worse. But he said as follows. Pari thought that God is only in a desert. But now that he sees that God is in the land of Egypt also, you know, in other words, like this. What if Moshe Rabbeinu came to Pari and said, you know, you have to let the Jews go out to the desert to worship God. So Pari thought, okay, this God of yours is in the desert. But now that he sees that God is in Mitzrayim also, because Goshen, he didn't bring the plague. And the rest of Egypt, he did bring the plague. That means God is in Egypt also. So he says, if you need to go serve God, why do you have to go out to the desert for? Do it here. By Tzfadeya, Pari didn't know that yet. Pari thought that God is only in the desert. So therefore, he changed his mind. So Moshe, okay, we'll stop here.